I hope you're ready. Because Jesse Green is going to come bring the word.
You guys awake? Yeah? All right, so this is our first ever Prophecy Sunday. You guys excited for that? All right, so I'm going to make you excited for that. So I'm going to share with you a word that the Lord gave to me at 5 o'clock this morning. I had about 20 prophetic words written down that I shared with Parker. And I know you think that's a lot, but the Lord is always speaking. Do you guys know that? And if you will spend time with him, he will speak to you. So a lot of times people are like, how do I get a prophetic word? Get into his presence, open up the word, and then see what he breathes on, right? And so I had about 20 words that I was sharing with Parker. And I was like, man, which one should I share? I was like, we need like a whole series for each one of these. He's like, each one of these is a whole message. And I was like, I know. There's so much happening. This is going to be a huge year. And so I woke up this morning. I fed Madison at 1 a.m., then 3:34 a.m., and then I woke up at 5 a.m. So when you say that you can't wake up early to spend time with the Lord, I promise you, you can. So I drew myself a bath at 5 a.m., and I knew that my kids would be waking up early, so I locked the bathroom door. And I turned the lights down low, and I was like, God, I just want to hear whatever it is that you need salt to know. And some of you are familiar with the prophetic. Some of you have no idea what it is. And so the role of a prophet is to hear from the Lord and basically just repeat what he's saying. It's not more complicated than that. And the way that you can grow in the prophetic is by reading his word, to getting to know the character and the heart of God, and then being diligent with sharing that with other people. So before usually you're asked on a platform to give words, it usually starts with your neighbors, your friends, and your family. So if you want to grow in the prophetic, honestly, just ask the Lord to speak to you about the people in your life and then deliver those words to them. And as you do that, again, like Jonathan shared, you're stewarding the gift. And then the Lord will start to talk to you about groups of people, about regions, about nations, and so forth. So a lot of times when people are like, I have a word for the nation, I'm like, that's usually weird and backwards if you're not ever edifying and prophesying the people that are in your midst. And so I would encourage you, if you want to grow in the prophetic, join the prayer team. Like, pray for the church, right? As you pray God's will for his house, right, you will become more prophetic, right? So join the prayer team next week. So the word that I have today is not going to be the word that you want. This is not the year of you becoming the richest or the coolest or the most influential. Those are the words that get the most shared on social media. But I find that the words that are the most shared on social media are often not the word of the Lord. I don't know about you, how many of you guys on social media at least have been sold every kind of planner that exists on planet Earth? No, no one else? Some of you? What about coaching or courses? No? Raise your hand if you've been sold in the last 30 days a planner or a coaching or a course. Okay. Guys, that's because we live in an age, right, of every year, like marketing wants to tell you it's time to reorient your life, restructure, replan, right? Make a vision board, right? This is, you're going to have a goal, a resolution. And it's a natural thing. It's called seasons. There's ebbs and flows in times, right? Times to harvest, times to plant. Like, that's a normal thing. The new year is a time to kind of reconfigure your life, right? So I was asking the Lord, I was like, well, what's the word for 2024? Right? How many of you have seen online or social media the prophetic words for 2024? How many of you came this morning and you're like, I want to know the word for 2024? Okay. Are you guys here this morning? Good morning, Salt Church. Okay, so God said to me this morning, I'm going to give them something better. Something better than the word for 2024. That got me pretty excited. I don't know about you. I was like, I had a whole list of words for 2024, and the Lord was like, let's level it up today. And I was like, okay. And he goes, I want to give you the word for the era. And I was like, okay. And so I took out my phone in the bathtub, which was a little nerve-wracking. And he said, since the resurrection of Jesus, we live in a new era. And he goes, the issue is the church doesn't recognize it. And we're waiting for words each year without recognizing that for thousands of years, we've been living in a new age. Okay, I'm going to teach that to you in a moment. Some of you are like, what? Okay, you are living your life in an old age. When the Lord wants us to live in a new era. Okay, the Lord says that many of you this year have created different vision boards, different ideas, different goals, different plans. And he says, for Salt Church, so listen, this is not a word for the church down the street. This is not a word for your neighbor or your friend. This is for you that are in this room. He says, I am giving them the same vision board. And he says, it is Christ and Christ crucified. Everything else is an idol. All right, so if I offend you this morning, I pray that you measure everything that I say against the word of the Lord. If I am offending you in any way, it might be an idol. He says, in Salt Church, I will have no mixture. I am about, oh, it makes me want to cry. I am about to breathe a fresh anointing and reawaken the gifts that I have given them. This is the year of multiplication of my gifts and not their own. They must, Salt Church, must purge the idols to make room, because I will not allow their human talent, gifting, or motivational speaking to take any of the glory which is my own. This is not a word for every church, and you will look extreme in a world of lukewarm. He says, Salt Church, where have you become so satisfied with those that are lukewarm? Do you look at a world of compromise and want to spit it out of your mouth? Or do you yourself have become so deceived that you think it is loving to embrace that which is lukewarm? Holy Spirit, I pray right now for every person in this church, that we would allow you to go into the depths of us, Lord God, so you could bring forth that which is your will, God. I pray that Salt Church would move forward the will of God with so much violence that the world would look at us and it would be confusing, because there would be nothing of the world or the desires of the world in this house. But we would be so focused on just the King and his kingdom. my son David last week had a dream. And he came down into our bedroom and he said, Mom, I had this dream last night. And I was like, okay, what was the dream? And he said, I saw this giant fire. And out of the fire came these little fires. And then I became one of those little fires. And he goes, and then the fire said to me, I'm the Holy Spirit. And I'm making you a little fire. And if you will become a little fire, I will be so proud of you. And he said, Mom, the Lord is so proud of me for being a little fire. And I just was like so overwhelmed by this revelation. And the Lord is speaking to the children in this church. And we have a responsibility here at SALT that not only do we steward the children and teach them to run forth in the things that the Lord has for them, but that we ourselves are an example of us being little fires of the big fire ourselves. I pray that our children don't come to SALT Church and they see golden calves instead of golden fires. We are called to be an example to the generations, but for yourself, are you building something that the Lord is not a part of? I want to encourage you this year, and you know this yourself. Many of you have done this. I've done this myself. You've written down goals. You've written down dreams. You've made plans this year. If not, I hope you have. But I want to encourage you that with fear and trembling, we should be afraid in 2024 that we build something that the Lord is not a part of. I pray that you do not invest $1 into something that the Lord is not a part of. I pray even when it comes to I know that this is a hard word. But I pray that even when it comes to the food that you ingest this year, that you are not buying groceries that are killing you. I know it seems like, oh, it's so extreme, but the Lord is setting our church apart, and some of you are not going to make it. But my desire, I know that's a hard word, but I'm praying that this word encourages you to step into the fire, to put yourself on the altar and say, listen, God, search me, consecrate me, use me. Like, he doesn't want mixture in your life because he wants to multiply himself in you. So listen, there is a bait. There is a temptation. All of the ads, all of the marketing, guys, the lies are clues. Everything in this world wants you to focus on you. Everything I am being sold is you need this skincare product. You need this clothing. You need this opportunity. You need this social club. You need to sit at this table. You need this coaching. You need this influence to then excel what? Your plans and purposes. The Lord says, I will not have mixture in this church. And he is purging the things that are in us that look good. They may even have Jesus branding attached to it. And so right now, Holy Spirit, I pray for such an increase of discernment in this church that we would say, it sounds good, feels wrong. I pray that every vision that you lay before us, some of you are some of the most anointed evangelists this world has ever seen. And the Lord is saying, I'm going to use your voice to bring in a harvest that is, it's record-breaking harvest. But he cannot multiply that gift if there is mixture. He wants to multiply it like Jonathan said. But he wants to give you the ability to steward his gifts his way. I believe that many of us are still living in the age that he never came. We sing songs like, "You have no rival, you have no equal," but our daily lives show that we believe that he is a rival. We believe that he is an equal. Sometimes we believe we're his equal. We believe that the enemy is his rival. We believe that the Lord is trying to fight this enemy, and if only the Lord were stronger, this nation would look different. If only the Lord were more powerful, Wilmington would look different. And the Lord said to me, the condition of Wilmington, I will say this is a thus saith the Lord. The condition of Wilmington is the responsibility of Salt Church. If there are people in this city that are sick and unwell, heal them in Jesus' name. If there are people with depression and anxiety, cast the demons out in Jesus' name. Many of you are called to the marketplace. Many of you are never called to preach from a stage. But you've believed the lie that marketplace ministry looks like hiding your Christianity to grow in influence and favor and accumulate wealth and tithe 10%. Marketplace ministry looks like you bringing the kingdom into the marketplace. It looks like you casting out demons, preaching the gospel, and healing the sick in places that they would never come to church. Do not believe the lie that marketplace ministry looks like ninja Christianity. Some of you have become such a ninja in your faith that you're not sure if you're saved yourselves. The Lord says that I will not be hidden and I will not be siphoned into your Sunday celebrations. If you want his glory and you want his favor, then take off the shackles and take off the cage and let the lion out into your business, into your family, into your finances. Jonathan said that you can't accumulate wealth without living at 70%. And the Lord says he wants 100%. At the end of this service, I'm going to have the ushers hand out tithes and offering envelopes. And I don't want you to put a dollar amount on it, but I'm going to have every single one of you write down what you've been withholding from the Lord that you need to relay down at his feet. Some of you, it's talents. Some of it's your business. Some of it's family. Some of it's dreams and hopes. And one of the girls on our prayer team had a vision of people putting their golden calves into the offering. And here's the thing, Prophecy Sunday, every single one of you is going to get a prophetic word. You're going to turn in your golden calves and get a word of the Lord to leave with today. So I'm going to have some of our prophetic team members up at the front. And when you lay down that envelope, I'm going to have them pray and prophesy over you so that you can then go out and do the things that the Lord has called you to do. William Temple, the Archbishop of Canterbury, warned in 1943 that Christian tradition was in danger of being undermined by a secular humanism which hoped to retain Christian values without Christian faith. The Lord says that Salt Church needs to pursue me with violence. I will be preeminent. We need to pray for desperation for power. Listen, So many of you have settled for powerlessness. I want to encourage you. You should be bothered. Bothered to the core that when you share the gospel, people are not turning and getting saved. It should make you sick at night. You should be waking up in the middle of the night and asking the Lord, why, when you lay hands on the sick, are they not recovering? When you lay hands on someone that is demon-possessed, why is the demon not leaving? This is the will for every single one of you, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to preach the gospel. This is not the call for just ministers. It's the call for the saints. Do not be deceived. You want to know what the antithesis of revival is? It's not demons. It's not witchcraft. It's not liberalism. It's not whoever's the next president. What kills and stops revival, and I'm not talking about out there, I'm talking about in here, in Salt Church. What's preventing revival, what's preventing from all of Wilmington being on fire from the Lord, is us being deceived that he's satisfied by us just gathering here on Sunday. By us growing cold. What revival is it's a reignition of saying, what must I do, Lord? Everything is yours. My identity is on the table. My finances is on the table. My vision board is on the table. My gifts are on the table. What am I allowed to pick up this year, Lord? Some of you have gotten to such a routine that you have not even stopped to ask the Lord, are you still even on this? Some of you are in the marketplace and you're called to ministry. But you've deceived yourselves and you haven't gotten to the secret place where he's allowed to mess with those things. Some of you are in ministry and you're called to the marketplace. But you've spent so long working your way into this position, and now this feels like a brand new territory. The Lord is shaking up everything. But you guys, we love the prophetic words that he's going to shake up everything out there, right? Shake everything that can be shaken, right? In Hebrews, we're like, shake up the culture, shake up the witchcraft, shake up the politics, right? You guys want to see that? We want exposure. I'm like, the Epstein files, we're like, yes, give us all the names. I was like, Leonardo DiCaprio's on there. What? I'm like calling Parker. I'm like, does it mean that Leonardo DiCaprio was like doing bad things? Like, what does this list mean? Like, we want to know. We want people to be exposed, but we don't want God to expose us. I'm talking about some of your idols today. I'm talking about some of my idols today. And we don't want him to touch that because we've made it holy. Listen, an idol is something that you say is holy that he is not a part of. They didn't worship the golden calves. They didn't worship these false gods because they thought they were powerless. They worshiped them because they had power. Listen, New Ageism has power. That's why people do it. Manifestations work. That's why people do it. But what happens is people then realize, they don't realize that they're welcoming all of this demonic ideology into their household. So they have the big house, they have the dream car, they have the dream life, and all of a sudden they have depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts. And guys, don't be deceived. You can do that as a Christian. What it looks like is praying your will. Period. praying and declaring and decreeing things and putting a Jesus sticker on it is the same thing as witchcraft. And guys, I can tell you, there is a separation between what we say we believe and what we actually believe. And that is why the Lord says, welcome to the age of Jesus Christ and Christ resurrected, Christ crucified. He is alive. But here's the thing, we need to live out of that revelation of his death and resurrection. And so we know Matthew 28, I preach this all the time, but here's the thing, I said to Parker, guys, there's things we hear all the time, and then there's a spirit of revelation that comes. And all of a sudden what we've heard forever then all of a sudden becomes true. Do you know what I mean? It's like it changes your mind. That's what revelation does. That's what prophecy does. That's what prophets do. Prophecy Sunday is me changing your mind to get your thoughts and ideas off yourself and focused on Christ. Many of you came into Prophecy Sunday because you wanted to be edified today. You thought Prophecy Sunday was about you. It's just like a little heart check. You're like, ooh, was I hoping I was going to get the lotto ticket of a word? Right? And here's the thing. Christ is like, this morning at 5 a.m., he's like, you got to tell them. Prophecy Sunday is about me. And I was like, oh, it is. And he goes, prophesy that this is the age of me. This is the era of me. This church is about me. The vision for your life should be about Christ. But what we can do in Christianity, and don't take the bait, and I'm not trying to offend you, but I am a little bit, because I don't want you to be deceived because of what he has for you. I don't want him to withhold from you because we take this idea of the world and we make ourselves feel better by just making it a little godly, our idols. We just think, okay, you know what then? I'm going to still do the same thing and build up my own kingdom, but I'll give 20% instead. And then Jesus won't take it away. He wants it all. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. This is like a hard word, but I promise you, if you listen to it and actually do what I'm saying, by December, you're going to be like, that was the best word I ever heard. It's just hard now, but it'll be good later. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says this. This is in the Bible. It says, throw off everything that hinders. So for your goals this week, for your visions and your dreams, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit in the secret place. That means a place where it's you and God alone. Shut the door and ask the Lord, what is hindering me? Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Okay, listen. The world view of this day will easily entangle you. It's so sneaky. Listen, Satan comes as light, right? The enemy's not gonna like get you to just all of a sudden be this horrible person. Right? Honestly, he's not going to turn most of you into a witch. Most of you are not going to like start buying crystals and tarot cards. Right? For the most part, all the enemy wants you to do is just build your own kingdom and think you're doing it for God. And then at the end of the age, most of it will be burnt up and you're going to wish that you asked the Lord what he was doing. And I know that that's a hard word. Listen, I had some dreams and visions written out this year. I had like big plans. I was like, Parker, look at my 300 pages of big plans. And I was like, I'm so excited. We're going to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I was like overwhelmed by all of the plans. And all of a sudden, the Lord said to me, he goes, I'm on two of those things. And I was like, but the rest of these things like really would propel the gospel in like very powerful ways, God. And he goes, I'm not a part of that. I'm not a part of that. I'm not a part of that. And can I be really real with you guys? The two things that the Lord highlighted to me that he wanted me to do were the two things I actually like didn't really care about. One of them was the last thing on my list. And I kind of had this thought of like, I should probably put that on there. And then I said to Parker, I was like, God's telling me to do this. And to be honest, I didn't even think it wasn't even really on my radar this year. There are assignments that the Lord has for you, and it might be the last thing on your list. But it's going to be the thing he breathes on. And some of you are striving for the favor of God on those top three things. And here's the danger, and this is where we should approach our year with fear and trembling, is Satan might bring favor on it. It might blow up and explode, and you're thinking that the Lord's on it, and God has nothing to do with it. And so that's why I want to encourage you, ask the Lord, is this hindering me from the type of person you want me to be? Is this building my kingdom? Okay, here's a really clear check that the Lord gave me this morning. I was like, this seems obvious, but I didn't think it was obvious. So maybe you won't either. He said to me, do not be deceived. If it's not clearly building my kingdom in an obvious way, it's building another one. I was like, but what about this? And he was like, no, no, no. This year, because of the age we're living in, we don't live, it's not like 10 years ago. Like 10 years ago was a different time in culture, right? Like even the enemy was like more of a ninja 10 years ago, wouldn't you say? Like new ageism, witchcraft, like people mutilating children and trying to change their gender, like was a little more hidden 10 years ago. Like now the enemy is just like right out in the open, just like pillaging our houses. And we're like, but my vision board says that I'm highly favored. And he's like, yeah, yeah, be highly favored. Enemy's like, I have no problem with that. Right? But I'm going to change the gender of all the children in your region. And you're so focused here on the side project, right? We need to ask the Lord, what are you doing? And is what I'm doing expanding what you're doing? And first and foremost, I'm going to give you like a clear carte blanche, like really simple way of knowing if you are doing the call of God, okay? How many of you are like, I want to know the call of God on my life, right? Like you can sell out identity and calling conference, right? Guys, I can get you guys to pay $30,000 to learn who you are and what you're called to do. Like I'm not touching little idols, but like all those coaching courses and like I'm like, Allie, we can joke about this because we know, right? Like there's a huge market for knowing who you are and what you're called to do. People spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on masterminds to go on a private plane to God knows where for someone to just say, you're awesome and you're going to do awesome things. Like I'm being really real because that's the thing inside of us. All of us want to know that. Right? Like there's this thing in us. And guess what? God wants you to know that. That's why you want to know that. Right? But Ephesians says, it's in Christ. Where? It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we were called to do. And so it's not in X, Y, and Z. It's in him. Right? And so Jesus raises himself from the dead. This is the gospel we all know and love. He raises himself from the dead and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he goes, if Salt Church can get this revelation that I actually have all authority, then your identity and calling changes. Because all of a sudden you realize that you're working for someone that's powerful. And he says, all authority has been given to me. So on that revelation, not out of duty, not out of diligence, but out of that changed mind, out of that revelation that, whoa, God is powerful. Out of that revelation, he says, then go and preach the gospel. How did the early church start? They had the revelation that the gospel was real. Guys, you are not murdered and killed for your faith if you don't believe what you're preaching. Half of us, maybe more, would never go and be killed for our faith. And I know that that's hard, but the reality is there's an invitation to believe this year. There's an invitation to stop living in an imaginary world. There's an invitation to stop hearing over and over and over again how awesome you are, but you're living deceived. Some of you are being told that you're building these huge businesses, and honestly, you're not even able to make peanut butter and jelly in the morning. Like, you're trying to build things and be someone that the Lord's not even asking you to be. Right? You're like, if I dress this way, if I act this way, I'll finally be the person I'm supposed to be. And the Lord says, no, Salt, this year, be a believer. You don't have to be the best dressed believer. You don't have to be the most eloquent believer. But what you have to be is a believer that believes unto death. Listen, we say Salt Church, that we're preaching and we're believers of the gospel and that the gates of hell will not stand against it. Guys, is the gates of hell in your mind? In your heart? Here's the reality, is that God wants you to realize that the gospel is real. We live in a new age, a new era of Christ and Christ crucified, which means that Wilmington actually belongs to him. And our job as a church is to show the region that. Your identity is co-heir with Christ, child of God, preacher of the gospel, right? And he says, from that revelation, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So go, therefore, preach the gospel, baptize people, and teach them to obey all that I command. Listen, some of us need to get violent about this. I know that you're like, you really want the 2024 word to be something else. But I promise you, all the other things that you could dream for a 2024 word to be about will happen when you make Christ the center. And not just in talk, I'm talking about in reality. Right? So when you sing songs like, you have no rival, you have no equal. Guys, I'm just gonna be honest. It should make you feel something. Like when you worship words like that, there should be a feeling connected to it. If you're not feeling something, be baptized today. I know you're like, it's not all about feelings. Y'all, when you believe something, there's usually a feeling attached to it. Right? Some of you like, I'll just take an election season, right? Like, if you want a certain candidate to win, right, and they don't, you feel an emotion, right? Right? Let's say, like, you want a promotion at work, and you've been working for 10 years for that promotion, and you know, you believe that you are owed that promotion, and it's given to someone else, right? You feel like an injustice has happened, right? You feel something. right? You guys should feel something when you see people in our region and they don't know Christ. You should feel something when people in this area believe that Christ has a rival. I want the reputation of Salt Church to be that Christ has no rival in each one of your homes. That Christ has no rival amongst us. That we would get out of the swirl of drama and confusion and the lies and the tactics of the enemy. And we would start to be vigilant and start to be focused and start to be passionate and say, God, use me. Remove from me everything that's in me that's causing me to not be powerful, not to be full of dunamis power, which is promised. He sent you the Holy Spirit so that you could convince the world that he is real. The last few weeks or so, I have been visiting Nick, our chiropractor, and I was like really excited to go at first. Because from being pregnant the last year and having a baby, I was like just having back pain and nursing and all of that. And I was like, oh, I really need to see the chiropractor. Like my back just hurts. So I go to the first session and Nick tells me all the things we're going to do. And I'm very excited about it. And he's like, in only like X, Y amount of sessions, like you're going to feel like a different person. And I was like, oh, that's so great. And then we had our first session, and I was screaming, and no exaggeration, right, Nick? Because Nick was addressing things in my body that I had neglected. He was pushing on pressure points that were creating pain in my whole body, and I thought it was one area that needed focus. Not realizing it was a different area altogether. And when Nick would push on those points, I would literally physically scream because they had been so unattended. The Lord is bringing salt into that same adjustment. And sometimes there's pain attached to addressing things that are not healed, that are not whole, that are unhealthy. Vic came with me to one of my sessions because we were talking in the car, and she came and sat with me. And I had my head in the seat, and she was laughing because I just was like, ah! And I said to her, I was like, you know, like it just hurts, but it hurts good. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know it's doing something good in me. And I just want to encourage you, church, like, embrace the hurt that hurts so good. Like, allow the Lord to push on those things. I believe that the Lord told me for this year, 2024, for Salt Church to hold fast to Colossians. I'm going to encourage you guys to read Colossians and to like meditate on Colossians throughout the whole year. I'm going to read this to you. Colossians 1:15 says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." Guys, I know you know this, but you don't yet know this. When Christ came to this earth, everything changed. Our calendars are different because Christ was born. Everything in your life changes because of Christ. Do not take the bait of the enemy and believe that things are just the way they always were. Christ changes everything. He is the image of the invisible God. God made flesh and dwelt among us. God came to the earth. The firstborn of all creation, verse 16, for by him all things, say all things, were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Guys, we have allowed the enemy to take way too much jurisdiction in this area because we're waiting for another solution. We're waiting for something different than Christ and Christ crucified. And the reality is we all say we believe the gospel, myself included, but our actions show that we don't fully believe this yet. Why? Because we would do different things. When Jonathan tells you to steward and multiply your finances for the kingdom, that wouldn't offend you if you understood that everything was for him. Okay, I'm going to just say this. This is just popping in my head. So I shared on social media like a month ago that I was having a hard time getting into the secret place because I had a newborn and like my whole calendar was a mess. Anyone knows with a new baby, it's like all of your rhythms are messed up. So I put up a story like, oh my gosh, like my secret place time is like all messed up. Like because of this newborn, like all of my rhythms and everything are messed up, right? Guys, I can't tell you how many people said this to me. Ready? They said this. They said, girl, just be kind to yourself in this season. Just give yourself grace. Like you've just had a baby. And I realized in that moment, I was like, why does that bother me? You know, because it seems nice, right? Isn't that like kind of encouraging? Seems nice. And I was like, why is that bothering me? And as I was praying, I realized why that bothered me so much. Because we have such a misunderstanding of time with the Lord. And I actually started to weep for the Christians that were encouraging me in that because they were saying to me, well, be kind to yourself that you're not doing your duty. Be kind to yourself. There's grace in the season from religious obligation. Guys, that is not what the secret place is. Time in God's presence gives life, gives hope, fulfills you, is the bread of life. And I realized in that moment how many Christians have no idea what happens in the secret place. Because they would know that with a newborn baby, what I need the most is his presence. What I need the most is time in the Word. What I need the most is Christ and Christ crucified. You would never tell a mom of a newborn, give yourself grace in this moment. Because you would realize that all she needs is his presence. And that anything that comes against that is from the enemy. And here's the thing. We've made so many of these things that give us life into religious duty. When you feel guilty for not spending time in his presence, it's just a little indicator. It's like that engine light going off in your car. When you feel guilt that you haven't read the Bible, it's just that indicator that just shows you that you don't understand that he is the source of life for you. Colossians says this, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Guys, God does not want to be on your top 10 list in 2024. He commands to be number one. Number two, three, or four, you're living in disobedience. I know that it feels like this, sometimes it feels like this for me. It's like there's these sacred buckets and secular buckets, right? And we feel like if we can just kind of like mix the two, we're kind of being good Christians, right? In the Christian life, everything is sacred. What you eat, how you talk, what you're doing during the day, how you work, how you treat the people that you work with is all sacred. It says this, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And Paul says this. So Colossians, the church in Colossians was struggling with different philosophies and humanism. He's writing this letter because they're the church in America. They're the church that's believing that they can do the Christian thing and add in all these other things. Listen, guys. Paul writes this in 60 AD from prison, and he's reminding the church to not fall aside, to fall victim to those who would minimize Christ and lead the church into empty philosophies and humanism. He's writing this letter with so much passion because he doesn't want them to take the bait of the world. I just, again, want to encourage you, if your faith is not red hot burning, cast off the temptations of the world. The bait and temptations to live in an imaginary world, to fake it till you make it. Many of us aren't honest with where we are and what we actually want. Parker talked about this last week. We don't reveal who we really are to the Father and thus leave the transformation to the sweat of our brow. So many of us are opposing his supernatural power through us because we're still trying to make ourselves different people. We believe the lie that time in his presence isn't transforming us. Beware of worldly things that sound like Jesus, but don't cost you everything. Look at the actual fruit, not what the fruit might look like, what it might feel like. The Lord says, use this as your measure, Salt Church. Is what you're doing, Holy Spirit, please help us. Is what you're doing, does it make you more like Christ or more like the world? Does the life you live provoke those around you to ask you to teach them how to pray? Does our prayer life cause others to ask what is our source? Does it provoke jealousy in those around us? Is our prayer life so effective that people realize that the thing that we have to offer them is not ourselves, but Christ? When people come to you for advice, what is it that they seek? John chapter 1. I told Parker I was reading this and again was just overwhelmed by the call of Christ. It's not what we've been told, and it's not what we've been sold in church. And I know that I'm saying things that many of you guys have heard, but I can tell that we haven't gotten it yet. It says that they saw Jesus, and John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And it says that they followed Jesus. Most of you in this room are followers of Jesus. Most of you are Christians already, right? Most of the people in Wilmington would say that they're Christians, right? Jesus turns around and he says this, and he's saying this to Salt Church this morning. He says, he turns around, he sees them following. Guys, they left everything. Some of you have sold everything. You've left everything. You quit your jobs. You're a radical Christian. Okay? He turns around. He sees those people and he says to them, he says, "What are you seeking? Do not be deceived that your following is enough." The Lord is asking Salt Church this morning, "I have seen you follow, but what is it that you seek?" Because some of you are following, but you still want to be in charge. Some of you are following, but you still want a little bit of the world with Jesus' backing. The Lord says to every single one of us this morning, "What are you seeking? What are you seeking?" Matthew 6, 7 through 8 says this, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I break off every lie from the enemy that spending time in your presence is not effective. I break off every lie from the enemy that has made time in your presence a burden. I believe that many of you are believing a lie that God won't meet you there. He says in his word, he will meet you there." This morning, guys, I'm going to be really real with you. I was up at 1. I was up at 3:34. I use like a little tracker to track all the times I'm nursing, mostly so I don't feel crazy. So I like use this nursing tracker, mostly so I could show Parker. I don't know. It's like a weird thing. And when my alarm went off at 5 this morning, I was like, "I don't want to wake up." And I was like, and this is how I really honestly thought. I was like, "I'm going to wake up and like, I already have like 20 words that I could preach this morning." This is what I really thought. And I thought, "I'm going to wake up and it's going to be a waste of time. I've already prepared for this message. I've spent weeks preparing for this message. I've done enough. I don't need to wake up. And you know what? I'm going to wake up and I'm not even going to get anything out of the scripture." And all I heard from the Lord was, "Get up and make a bath." And I got into the bath and the Lord started to speak to me. And I got out of the bath and I said to Parker, I go, "It's just so crazy. Every time. I open up the word and I close the door every time he speaks to me." And I'm like, "I can't believe how much the enemy tries to convince me that he's not going to." I can't. And then the Lord said this to me. He goes, "Don't believe the lie that when you read the word, it's not transforming you. The word is taking root in you. when you read it, whether you feel something or not, it is changing you. It is sanctifying you. It is making you more like the person God calls you to be. Whether you feel something or not, He is there. And guess what? He's rewarding you for what you do in that place. I'm going to end with this, and then I have a few people that I'm going to come up and give us word to. I wrote, this new movement claims we stand at the brink of an entirely new age of human achievement and potential, one that will unify the world and bring an end to war, an end to hunger, through a redistribution of the world's resources. All of the humanism wants us to conserve the environment, result in genuine equality among all races and religions and between men and women, and provide a global ethic that will unite the human family. But at the center of this movement of humanism is biblical revelation without Christ. Christ is only one of many religious leaders or influences that man may turn to, because they are other ways equally with God. The goal of the New Age movement is to awaken us to the God who sleeps within us, to teach us to live like the gods we are. The bait on this pagan hook is Satan's great delusion from the Garden of Eden, the promise of godhood. Secular humanism teaches that man is the measure of all things. Salt, church, be careful. Break ties with anything and all things that keep the focus on yourself. Because of this promise of godhood for men, the New Age movement says that with man, all things are possible. The New Age worldview is what would be called a cosmic humanism. The ideas of the New Age movement are not new. It merely repeats Satan's age-old lie in a new age, using euphemisms or new names to hide and remove all associations and stigmas. Implications of Christ's supremacy. Paul emphasizes that Christ is the one who rescues us. Christ is the one who delivers us from darkness into light. And our allegiance is to Christ and Christ alone. We are called into a life of laying down ourselves, picking up our cross, and picking up whatever the King says is our assignment. After the resurrection, we were given a real assignment to occupy, to resist, to walk in real power and authority. If the devil is taking ground in Wilmington, this is Salt Church's jurisdiction. In this region, if people are sick, demonized, and don't know the gospel, it is our responsibility to show them. Do we have boldness because we know what we carry? Holy Spirit, I pray that this year we would usher in the age of Christ and Christ crucified. I just believe that the Lord wants us to realize there's not a new sexy word for the year. It's the same word. It's just revelation of it. Rick, would you mind coming up and playing for a moment? And ushers, will you please hand out or any of the team, will you hand out offering envelopes and pens to every single person in this room? Now, I do have words for individuals here. And I do believe that the Lord wants every single one of you to be prophesied over and prayed over. But the Lord says, I will not give you a new word until you lay down what he's not a part of. There has to be an exchange that's going to take place. So before you come up for prayer, I want you to ask the Lord, is there anything that's hindering me? Is there anything in my goals, in my dreams, in my plans that you're just not a part of? And I want you to just write those things down and lay them at the altar. And once you've done that, then I'm going to have some of our prophetic team pray over you. And I'm going to invite up Victoria, Jess, Parker, Sav. Can you guys just come up to the front? Harriet, can you come up? And I just wanted to tell you guys, the Lord wanted me to tell you, when someone comes up for prayer, if you do not have a word for them, okay? If you do not have a word for that individual, a clear word, tell them to go to the person next to you, okay? Like, you don't need to fake something. If you're not hearing something for that person, send them to the next person. Okay, so there is no pressure. If you have nothing for that person and someone goes all the way down the line, okay, here's a word for you guys. If everyone up here does not have a word for you, do not take the bait of offense. Do not be pissed or feel like shame or anything. If no one up here has a word for you, I want you to just go over here and kneel down and ask the Lord to speak to you, okay? Okay, up on the stage, I'm gonna call a few people before we have people do the envelopes. Can Shane come up? Can Melissa and Jonathan come up? Can Jess J come up? So you can come up and then you can go back down. Jess J, Kay. I don't know if she's in here. Kay, if you're in here, can you come up here? She's not here. Jillian, can you come up? You guys can just come up here. So Melissa, Jonathan, Shane, Just Jay, Kay, Jillian. So these are people that the Lord has given me words for. And again, I don't want you to be like, why am I not getting a word? Everyone's going to get a word, so just relax. But these are just people that the Lord has highlighted. And I believe that each one of these words is going to have a multiplying factor in the body. So as I release these words over these people, if this word resonates with you, just open up your hand like this and just say, me too, God. I receive that word. I want to be a part of that. Okay? Okay. Actually, Parker, can you come up here for a sec? Can someone go get Jillian? Okay, cool. All right, so we'll pray for Shane first. Parker, can you just lay hands on him? All right, so Shane, the Lord has said to me this. This is not just something that you want. This is something that the Lord wants for you. The Lord says, Shane, he says, I have available for you the supernatural gifting to heal the sick and see them recover. It is not your desire, says the Lord, but it is my desire in you. I have called you to see the sick, healed and recovered. And I'm calling you to disciple five men to walk in this same healing anointing. But what will be required from you, says the Lord, you will need to step out in radical ways. Do not allow the enemy to deceive you, but step out in radical obedience. It will cost you your reputation over and over and over again. And when it feels like it's not working, the Lord says, push forward, step out. Be radical. You are wild, Shane. Do not allow the enemy to take away from that wild nature, but pray for the sick, 1,000 people, until you see them recover. And you will reach a point where when you lay hands on every single individual, they will be made whole, says the Lord. And you are called to bring five men with you, and you will be like an army that's thrust out into Wilmington. And when you go to places, people will know that healing is on the way. So Holy Spirit, we say yes, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this gift in the body of salt. And we, right now, Shane, we say go. Go into the streets. Go into the hospital parking lots. Go into the bars. Let the rumor spread of the healing that has come to Wilmington through Christ and Christ crucified. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Shane, the Lord says, do not dare believe for a moment that this is your desire. Don't believe the lie. This is not what you want. It is what the Lord wants. And so be aggressive about it. Like, put all of your eggs in that basket. Like, reorient your calendar, your finances, like everything. This is the most important thing for you in 2024. Like, this will change the church. Like, this is your job this year. It is number one important, like, over everything, is for you to walk in this. It is a gift, and the way you steward this gift, like Jonathan said, the same thing with the talents. Like, you will be given authority over regions with the way that you multiply this. Okay, so give it everything. Everything, okay? Okay. Melissa and Jonathan. The Lord says, Melissa and Jonathan, I have many houses for you with many rooms. I have many houses for you with many rooms. In heaven and on earth. The Lord says that it is not your desire. It is not your vision. It is His vision in you. He says, I want you to reorient your focus and your prayers to see this come to pass. I break off all delay in the name of Jesus. And I ask right now that those houses that you are called to occupy, that they would right now come into your ownership. Now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your stewardship anointing, that you will teach this church how to own land and property and how to multiply the things in their hands. I thank you that you are helping this church to be property owners. I break off the lie of this church that they will be borrowers, says the Lord. I pray that they would be owners, says the Lord. This morning, as I was praying, the Lord says, I am breaking off the verbiage of Salt Church that they cannot afford. The verbiage I cannot afford to do X, Y, and Z is now illegal communication in Salt Church. The Lord says that the declaration of Salt Church is, I can afford to do X, Y, and Z. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way, Lord. I believe that the Lord is going to help you help others to remove distractions. I believe that there is finances in this church that are locked up and bound in things that the Lord is not a part of. And you are going to help them to identify those things. I pray right now over you, Melissa, and you, Jonathan, that there would be a discernment to see where the enemy has taken resources that belong to the King. And you will help people to see, to own, and to multiply. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Many houses, many rooms, says the Lord. Many houses with many rooms. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Jess J. Here, come over here. Okay. Holy Spirit, help Jess J right now. Jessica, the Lord says that I'm calling you into what feels like a trust fall. And because of past disappointments and past pain, you're afraid that he will not be there to catch you. This is the final entanglement of control, says the Lord. And if you will allow him to cut off your ability to provide for yourself, you will know him as Jehovah the Lord wants to break off the thread of control that came in with Jacob's father. The fear that you still need to do it in your own strength. This final season, this final push, this final trust fall, if you will release it all to him, he says, watch what I can do for you, Jessica. I can do great and marvelous things, things you don't even know how to pray into, if you will allow me to do it. And he says, do not wait for the world to take it from you, but give it to me, says the Lord, and watch what I do for you and your family. I can be trusted. I can be trusted. I can be trusted, says the Lord. Release it all to me, Jessica. He says, when you moved here, you gave me 99.9%. But there's still that tiny, tiny bit left that you're still holding on to. So right now I pray for vision and revelation of the Lord God, that He would show you how great and powerful He is. The things that He has for you, your mind, Jess, I know that you are doing mindset coaching, but the Lord says your mind cannot even comprehend. Your mind cannot even comprehend what I have in store. Trust me. It will feel like falling at first. And as your arms flail, you will land in His arms. So Holy Spirit, come. Give Jess and Rick the strength to trust in You, God. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Jesus. Okay, so this word is for Kay. I know she's not here, but I'm just going to say it anyway, and we can just send her the recording. Kay, the Lord says that this is a year for you of exponential growth, influence, and favor. The Lord has seen what you have done in secret, and He's about to shout it from the rooftops. There are about to be open doors that you never imagined. Do not resist the acceleration of the Lord. The Lord says, I am saying this publicly so that those in Salt Church can help you to not retract. That we can push you and encourage you and remind you of this word, that this is the Lord. This is not your own doing. This is not self-promotion. But this has come from the Lord. Enter into it. The Lord says you can be trusted, Kay, because you will not take any glory for yourself. So, Kay, we just release this over you right now. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for Kay and her pure heart. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that she would be a sign to our church of what it looks like to live your life laid down. So we thank you for Kay. In Jesus' name. Okay, Jillian. So the word the Lord has for you is kind of a funny word, so just hear it out. So I heard the Lord say that He is making you an accidental revivalist. That by just following Him, that He will have you placed in an accidental harvest. And you will take everything that you've learned in that moment, and you'll see the opportunity in front of you. And you will step into that moment and revival will break out. There's a story of Reinhard Bonnke. And he was thanking the Lord. He was thanking the Lord for the harvest in Africa. And that he was called to be an evangelist in Africa. And the Lord said to him, Reinhard, you were my third choice. And he laughed and said, well, Lord, what do you mean? And the Lord said to him, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The Lord says, Jillian, the laborers are few. Will you be a laborer? Will you have eyes to see the harvest? He says, if you keep your eyes focused on me, not focus what's happening to your left, to your right, behind you, in front of you, but keep your eyes focused on me, you will step into an accidental harvest. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would put blinders on Jillian's eyes, that you would help her to not be distracted, but she would stay faithful to the things that you have called her to. I pray that her eyes would stay fixed on you and you alone, Lord Jesus. So Holy Spirit, I pray like Lot, like just keep your eyes focused, Jillian. Keep running forward and stay focused and stay the course. And you will find your feet in a harvest field. And you're going to say in that moment, I don't even know how I got here. And the Lord will remind you of this word. So Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of Jillian, God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you keep her eyes focused on you, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Okay, so what we're going to do now is this. I'm going to pray for everyone in this room. And after I'm done praying, I'm going to have you just bring your envelopes down and bring them, lay them on the stage. And then you can go to anyone here, and Just Jay, anyone down here and get prayer. And I just want to encourage you, don't leave here without getting prayer. And I feel like specifically that song when we sing, and maybe Rick, you can just play it on the keys, like you have no rival, you have no equal. But I felt like the Lord was saying that that was an indicator of like if your heart was warm or cold. And when you sing that this morning at worship, I'm not talking about right now because he's going to warm your heart. But during worship, when you sing that, if you felt nothing, I want you to ask the Lord if you should be baptized today. And don't be baptized because you think you should be. Ask the Lord. But he wants you to burn with revelation. He wants you to burn with passion. He wants you to realize that he is powerful. He wants you to preach the gospel, not out of religious duty, but out of passion and revelation that the darkness has no power anymore. He is actually alive. And we need to let the people know. They need to know that the darkness has no power over them anymore. And his plan is you. His plan is you as a mouthpiece moving and operating in real dunamis power. Do not take the bait that the gifts or power are for someone else. They are for you. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you draw a line in the sand today in Salt Church. I pray that we would not live an imaginary life of thinking that we're a Christian, but our hearts have grown cold. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be like David said, we would be a little fire coming from the big fire. And as we burn for you, God, and make you the center of our attention, our focus, our devotion, our goals, our visions, our dreams, let it all be centered around Christ and Christ crucified. That all of our ambitions, all of our finances, all of our talents, all of our gifts, that it would make Christ glorified and make him known in this region. I pray, Lord God, that you would multiply those things in a way that we don't even know how to pray for. Jesus, we ask that you don't allow us to waste a year. So Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, speak to us. I thank you, God, for this prophetic word, for this church. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that this is about to be the most wild year imaginable. So right now, you can just begin to pray where you are. You can begin to come forward. Some of you need to take a few moments sitting where you are and ask the Lord just to keep searching, to go deeper. And some of you already have some things. So you can come on up ahead.